God bless you today, beloved. Praise the living God. We've been talking about lately on these devotions, end time events, and the manifestation of the sons of God in the final season, the wrath of God coming, the tribulation, the great tribulation, the Antichrist, all of these things that the Bible talks about. And as I was praying and seeking the Lord this morning, I just felt Him emphasizing in my spirit the importance of knowing the Word of God as a whole, what God has given to man in the Holy Bible, knowing it as a whole. Some people call preaching the full gospel. I think that makes more sense as I'm getting older. Because if you continually read the word over and over and over, there's all different concepts that will start coming together. Immaturity is when you read something in the word and you get excited and you run with it and you express it in a way that doesn't line up with other things that are in the word. Let me explain what I'm saying. A lot of us have gotten excited about the Bible's prophesying of His outpouring of God's Spirit in the final days. And so a lot of charismatics, a lot of Pentecostals have gotten very excited and point to the end times as this amazing time for the church. And they do not talk about the great falling away and the constant warnings of Jesus that those invited wouldn't be ready, that they would miss it. They just don't focus on those areas. But as we really study the Word of God, all the concepts begin to come together. For example, in the end, there will be a great falling away. There will be tribulation. There will be an increase in wickedness, perversion. There will be a manifestation of the sons of God in the very end and a massive outpouring of God's Spirit. But at the same time as the falling away, at the same time as the increase in wickedness, all of these things are going to take place at the same time. So we need a healthy balance. There's an excitement in my spirit about what Jesus accomplished on that cross, fully manifesting in the final season in this world. What Jesus did, friend, he finished the work and he sat down expecting every enemy to be made his footstool because he's already forever perfected us. He's waiting. Psalm 110, sit at my right hand, the Father said, until I make all of your enemies your footstool. And the Bible says this, he's going to send forth the rod of Jesus' strength. This is the Father talking to Jesus, Psalm 110. I will send forth the rod of your strength through Zion. Zion, according to the Apostle Paul, if you really study the Word of God, Zion is the born again children of God, the true, what's the word? The true citizens of the New Jerusalem, Zion, the born again sons and daughters of God. Jesus sat down at the right hand, expecting all of his power, all of his dominion, all of his authority to be sent through and manifested through the body of Jesus Christ. Why is Jesus expecting that? Because he believes in the work that he did. He knows he finished it, he knows what he's accomplished. We don't yet. We don't fully see it, but he fully sees it. And he knows that we will fully see it. And I believe when you really understand the full counsel of God's word, when will we fully see it? As tribulation increases, as the troubles of the world increase, its birth pains to bring forth the sons of God. Even the sons of God can be comfortable in the world and just relax, even though in their spirit they may feel like something is wrong, but they can grow comfortable in the world and they can relax. in the world and start just being satisfied and thinking even it's God's blessing, all the things that we have in this world. But friend, when the world starts to shake, when our comfort starts to be taken away, then we really begin to see what the things of the world are. They are all temporary. They are all in a state of corruption. Nobody builds a brand new, I do construction now, and I build tile showers and stuff on the side, as well as pastoring and ministering. But it never ceases to amaze me. I'm working for a person right now. They're retired. They're elderly, and they're building a brand new house, and they're so excited, and it's the first house they've ever designed and built. And I'm just sitting there thinking that, first of all, they don't have long to live. Second, there's so many problems with home owner, and now they've got acres that they've got to take care of. But nobody thinks like that. Nobody thinks all the stuff that's going to break and all the stuff that's all the headache and all the hassle. No, we don't think like that. We just don't see it. And in America, we're really sheltered. A lot of us are. Not everybody, but many of us are sheltered from the problems that most of the world is constantly dealing with. Many people are constantly dealing with trying to get food or clean water and just to survive. And in America, we deal with problems too. We're human beings, but we're sheltered from a lot of what the world is facing. But when things begin to shake and we begin to experience the corruption in the world, we begin to experience the decay that is in the world. I know God allows his children to experience this. Many of us will go through seasons where everything breaks. Everything. All of our appliances break. Termites get in our house. Our car gets scratched. I mean, these kinds of things, friend, it may be the devil doing it. It may be demonic things doing it. But, friend, God is the one that planned it, and God is the one that allows it because he wants to deliver us from our bondage to the decay. We are all in bondage to it. We don't realize it because we can't see the maggots in it. So we start wanting what we can see. This is why the Bible said the love of the, if anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. It doesn't mean they may never have the love of the Father in them. It means at that particular time, if they love the world, they don't. That's not the love of the Father. They really do not have the love of the Father flowing through them if they love the world. Love for the world is wanting what our eyes see. It's wanting what our natural life desires. It's even being proud of our own life and thinking that I'm decent, I'm good, and what God's going to do with my life. For the love of the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The pride of life, what a man can do, what a man has. My goodness, may God in heaven, in Jesus' name, open our eyes to the full counsel of his word so that we will not be, we won't be blown, that's the perfect one. We won't be blown by every wind of doctrine. We won't be unstable. We won't be one season where, oh man, hallelujah, everything's going good. Praise God, we're going up from here in the power. Amen. The great revival's coming. And then the next season, everybody's going to die. I mean, we won't be imbalanced because we begin to understand it's all going to take place at the same time. It's amazing to be able to have a deep-seated fear of the Lord, a healthy fear of the Lord. I'm not confident that I'm ready. I'm not. I used to think like that. I used to think, God, I don't doubt my salvation. I was foolish. I was in the flesh and didn't know it. I'm not confident. I'm looking to him every day to finish the good work he begun and to prepare us. And the Bible said he died that he could wash us with the water of his word to present us to himself spotless and without blemish. He's the only one that can get us ready. That's why the Bible said to work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling, because it is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. These two things go together. What does that mean? It means that If God doesn't do the work, friend, it won't get done. So we must come to Him with humility. We must look to Him and depend on Him completely because He's the only one that can get us genuinely, truly ready. Now, people think it's idealistic, but I believe if you really believe the scriptures, when Jesus comes for His bride, she is not going to have a single spot. It will be a group of people that look exactly like Jesus, that have no desire for anything in the world. They're doing what Jesus did and greater than Jesus did, and they look exactly like him. That's what he's coming for. He's not coming for a bunch of Christians who are sitting around you living for the same things and living the same way the world's living. He's not. He's coming for the manifest sons of God. If you believe all of the scriptures together, one of the things I don't hear Christians talk about that God really rebuked me for 20 something years ago is that the Christians are most often watching the world. They're not watching the church because they haven't been taught that the church will fully mature in this world. That is scripture, friend. Jesus ascended, and when he went up, he sent down, spiritually speaking. As he went up, he sent down gifts, apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists until the fivefold ministry was given to us by Jesus Christ to bring us into the full stature. Even the Holy Spirit came for that. When Jesus left, he sent the Holy Spirit. Friend, there's a reason that we're still here. There's a reason Jesus hasn't come back. The Holy Spirit is here to lead us into all the truth until we are genuinely free. When Christ comes back, he's not coming back for a people who are bound with any sin at all. He's coming back for a people that look exactly like he looked when he was here. It doesn't mean we don't have our earthen vessels, but there is a culmination of events. As the world gets worse and worse, many fall away. And the true sons of God begin to rise up. And they do not want this world. They have no desire for it. And they do what Jesus did and greater than Jesus did. And the Spirit of God is poured out as strong, stronger than it's ever been poured out. But that doesn't mean the whole world is in revival. That just means that's one pocket of something going on in the world system. And it will be rejected. Jesus was just one person doing those things several thousand years ago. In the final season, it will be many people, but not many compared to the billions that are in the world. The ones that find life are few compared to that. I don't know how many it will be, but there will be numerous Jesuses, so to speak, numerous people walking in the fullness of his life who don't care about this world and who are doing what he did and greater than he did. All of these things are going to happen. Every one of them, the wrath of God will be revealed against all unrighteousness, friend. And if we are walking in unrighteousness when that happens, then we will experience that. We will go through that tribulation and that fire, and that's there to deliver us, not to condemn us. It's there to deliver us. God wants all men to be saved. And so, beloved, I want to encourage you, keep reading the word. Keep reading it, because all of the concepts are true. I remember finding out the thieves. If you read Luke is the only gospel that records the repentance of the thief that we've all heard about, who said, to Jesus, "Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And he told the other thief to stop hurling insults on Jesus because he said, "We deserve this, but this man has done no wrong." Well, when I was reading Matthew and Mark, it says both of the thieves hurled insults on him. And I thought, which one of these is true? Was it both thieves hurling insults on him, or was it one and one not? And I realize everything in the Word of God is true. So what this means is that both thieves were hurling insults on Jesus. Why did one thief change his heart? It's interesting that Luke is also the only gospel that records Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And right when he did that is when Luke records the thief beside him repenting. So when you see the full picture, it's even better. Everything in the word is true. All of it's true. Every concept is true. They don't contradict one another. The truth is, Matthew told us, both thieves were hurling insults on Jesus. The truth is, Luke told us, Jesus cries, Father, forgive the people doing this to me. They don't realize what they're doing. And then Luke tells us that one of the thieves hanging beside Jesus had a change of heart. It's amazing because just a few minutes earlier he was insulting Jesus. But when he saw the one beside him say, Father, forgive these people that are doing this, he saw a life that he had never seen before. He saw something that shook him, and he realized how different he was than the one hanging beside him. And he told the other thief, man, we deserve this. All he had done is steal something, and they were crucifying him. Nobody's ever stolen anything and been crucified and been up there going, I deserve it. No. What made him think he deserved it? When he saw the one hanging beside him and how different that life was than his own, he realized his life deserved condemnation. He learned the gospel. He learned the truth that his life deserved to die, but the one beside him had done no wrong. Oh my goodness. And he was gloriously saved. But friend, when you understand the full counsel of God's word, you get the full picture. It's the same thing with end time events. People want to jump on a bandwagon and they want to fight each other. You've got one group of people that's believing for great outpouring and Christians are going to take over the world. Friend, that is, there's so much darkness in that because they're twisting all kinds of scriptures and mixing them, not understanding things. Christians are not going to take over this world. Our kingdom is not of this world. Now, we will take over at the after the great tribulation. There's coming a this current time period is going on. This current time period, the Bible's very clear. It ends with wickedness prevailing. It ends with great falling away. It ends with some rising up in the full power of the cross. It ends with a great outpouring while all of this is going on, an outpouring of God's Spirit. And then the sons of God leave and all hell breaks loose and all kinds of tribulation happens. And God redeems many souls through it. And some are lost, of course, but he redeems many souls through all the pain and the troubles that come into the world. But every concept in the Word of God is true. So we need to be careful not to jump on a bandwagon and be blown to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Every new season, some super preacher's got an idea, and people jump on the bandwagon. And a couple years later, on a different bandwagon. This is human nature. I'm not putting down any certain group of people. We all do it. We get excited about something and run with it. And this is why it's so important to stay in the Word of God so that it can come together as a whole, all of it. This is why the Bible itself says all Scripture is given for instruction in righteousness. It's all good for reproof. It's all good to teach us and lead us. Today there's a movement that wants to throw away the Old Testament. Oh my God, the Old Testament is so valuable. It is really the only way that we can truly find Christ is to understand God's covenants and what he did with Jesus, even in Acts, when they were wondering what should we tell the Gentiles to do? And they said, hey, they have Moses read in their synagogues. They have Moses. So there was nothing in the Bible ever that Gentiles do not need to hear Moses, that they don't need to hear the law. The law is beautiful, wonderful, and it's what leads us to Christ. It's what shows us that none of us are righteous. It's vital. It's wonderful. Everything there is a picture in the Old Covenant. It's all a picture of something heavenly and something spiritual, and there's so many powerful things there. We don't want to throw that away. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. We need to understand the Word as a whole. Praise God. Understand what false prophets are, the ones that cry peace and safety when tribulation's coming, when sudden destruction, that's so clear in the Bible. And yet all of these guys are running around crying, God's going to give us a victory. God's going to put us on the top. God's, the church is about to enter its greatest season ever. And people aren't thinking we're going to go through pain and trouble and misery. And through all of that, we're going to reject the world. Through all of that, we're going to walk away from all of it and truly lay hold of the kingdom. No, they're not thinking that. When the preacher's up there in his nice suit shouting how God's going to give us the victory, they're thinking God's going to put me on the top and give me more success. And when the whole world is suffering, I'm not going to. And it's not the right concept. As a matter of fact, Jesus warned his people constantly that they would suffer, that they would go through things, that they would suffer to endure to the end, because it's going to get very, very difficult. But praise the Lord. I got a little passionate about that this morning. Thank you, Jesus. But beloved, let's stay in the Word. Stay in the Word and believe all of it. It's all true. Now, obviously, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to see what God is saying, because there's some things that are hidden for sure. So we need to stay in the Word. Jesus even warned, he said, listen, you think by searching the scriptures you find life, but you won't come to me, I'd give you life. So no, we don't find our life, and we don't even find, quote, the truth in the scriptures. We find it from the Holy Spirit. But oh my goodness, he uses the scriptures absolutely first and foremost. God uses the scriptures. Jesus was memorized. He knew the scriptures up backwards and forwards from the time he was a little kid. When he was preaching, he said that it might be fulfilled what was written. He was constantly quoting the Word of God. It's so important, not just that we search the scriptures, but that we seek the presence of the Lord, that we seek the Spirit of the Lord so that he can help us to understand what we're reading and bring it together for us. It's amazing. I remember when I first came to Christ, I read through the Bible several times that year, and then each year at least once. I remember for, I don't know, about 10 years, I had a reading guide that brought me through the Bible 1.5 times a year. I think, I can't even remember, I think it was the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once, something like that. And it, every year. And I, you know, sometimes I felt like I was wasting my time. I wasn't getting much. Other times it was so amazing. Now, when I studied, it always felt amazing. But what I didn't realize is that all of those concepts and all of those stories were being planted into my mind, into my thinking, so that after decades of time of walking with God, they all start coming together. And you start understanding old, new, if you really seek him. This is why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You need to understand it. You need to understand that what God is up to. Jesus finished the work. God is going to send forth all of Jesus' authority and power through the genuine end time sons of God who are done with the world, who don't want anything to do with it. There's even more confirmation of this. After they're gone, God marks 144,000 when you look in the book of Revelation. God puts a mark on 144,000 Jews who had not defiled themselves with women. It's so intense that God chooses men who've never been with women, who've never, you know, struggled or had that problem with lust. You know, they haven't defiled themselves. That's just amazing. I mean, nobody talks about that. That's intense. He chooses 144,000 people who've not been with women. Friend, do you think that's after the rapture where the true sons of God are gone? Do you think the true sons of God who were manifest in the final season are going to have iniquity in their life? Are going to be loving the world, you know, playing the PlayStation and watching Netflix, and then Jesus comes and boom, they're gone? It doesn't work like that. God is going to finish the work that he begun in us and bring us fully into the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a work that he can do. It's not a work we can do. We can't get a list. Okay, don't watch TV. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, don't do this, don't do that. And then we're ready. It doesn't work like that. The only thing that will get us ready is the Holy Spirit bringing us into the truth and delivering us from our bondage to decay and delivering us from wanting what is corruptible. Oh, thank God, what he is doing in the world. Don't be a world watcher. Be a kingdom watcher. The Bible said, if you've been raised up with him, don't focus on what's below. Focus on what is above, what is at the right hand. What is at the right hand? The life of Jesus. Your life is there. You've been raised up and seated there. Why? Because you died. Colossians 3, you died. Your life is hidden with God in Christ. You died and you've been raised up. So don't focus on what's going on down here. That's birth pains. Focus on what's going on at the right hand. What is that? What does that mean? All dominion, all power, all authority is there. Your true identity is there. The life you were created for is seated at God's right hand. And his kingdom is not of this world. He doesn't want anything in this world. As a matter of fact, when you understand the kingdom of God, you understand this world is reserved for fire. Every stone will not be left on another. Everything will be burned up. Everything will be incinerated. Everything we see is reserved for destruction. All of it. And it's not ours. It doesn't belong. It's not our home. It belongs to us. Even the word said it belongs to us for a purpose, for a season. But this isn't our home. The new Jerusalem, the new earth, is what it's all about. What we have now is temporary, reserved for fire. And the more we understand that, the more we believe it, the less we want it, the less we desire it. I mean, man, this isn't our kingdom. I am seated. You are seated at God's right hand, far above all power, principality, every name that is named. Oh, my goodness. Our world is eternal. Our world is perfect. Praise God. This one's not in any way, shape, or form. And the more we focus on what is at the right hand, the more we won't want what's here. And we'll start walking in the life that is at the right hand. And understanding, Jesus came, he understood it. That's why at 30 years old, at God's direction, not when he decided, it's not something we can do, it's something God does. At 30 years old, Jesus walked away from everything the world thinks is important. All of it. He walked away from it. He walked away from natural family. He walked away from his career. He walked away from any pursuit of gaining anything for himself. He walked away from all of it. To do what? To preach the good news of the kingdom of God and to lead people into the kingdom and to lead people away from wanting what this world has to offer. And friend, the Bible says, as we behold him, we are transformed into the very same likeness. The body of Christ will look just like Jesus when it is mature. When it is immature, there's all kinds of mixture. There's all kinds of tares mixed in with the wheat. There's all kinds of immaturity, even in the wheat, blown to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But as the end approaches, the knowledge of God will increase in his body, and they'll really begin to understand why we had to die. They'll understand the cross, and Christians will once again begin to reject their own life, the life of the first Adam, and take up their cross and begin to follow Jesus and do what Jesus did. Jesus only did what he heard the Father say. He only did what he saw the Father doing. That's where the body of Christ is headed. It seems impossible because we look at the first Adam. But friend, this is exactly what's going to happen. The end time sons of God are going to be finished with this world completely. Not because God said don't touch it, but because they see what it is. The Holy Spirit leads us into the truth, and that's what makes us free, not our effort. Not the command. What makes us free is the truth. That's why the Bible says, he who has suffered is done in the flesh is done with sin. The more suffering that sin brings, the more you, nobody, all this deception. You know, well, we're under grace. And you suffer and you suffer and you suffer. And then you finally, you face reality. You know, this is not grace. It's not grace to be sinning and suffering and sinning and suffering and sinning and suffering. That's not grace. Amen. Grace has dominion over sin, and then God delivers you from lies. That's how I'm explaining what I went through and what many people go through. God delivers you from lies by allowing you to go through pain and difficulties and troubles and brings you into the true gospel of Jesus Christ, which is rejecting our own life and laying hold of his and pressing into the mark of the high calling in Christ. Oh, God bless you today, beloved, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.